Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Rabbi Dr. Bruce Tucker.
Amen. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, shall we please? It is so good to be back. It is so good to be home. Limited time tonight. We're going to jump right into it. Look at your neighbor and say, jump right into it. Look at your other neighbor and say, bring your towel. We're in the third year of a Shabbat cycle for just this Shabbat and one more Shabbat. And on the third year of a Shabbat cycle, we focus on taking root in some things. In the first year, the Lord plants seed in us. In the second year, we find those nourishing places. Mazel tov on being here tonight. In the third year, we really want to focus on these things that the Lord plants in us and the nourishing places that they take root in us, but also that we take root in the things that the Lord has for us. Our parsha this week is Ki Tavo, when you enter or when you enter in. We're going to ask the question this week as we study the Torah together, how do we take root with a new entering in? Every high holy day experience is new for us. Some of the things are familiar, but the Lord is saying that there's a new entering in that He wants us to experience. Why is it so important to have this mindset that in every opportunity that the Lord gives, He's calling us to enter into something new? It's a new high holy days. We've never had a high holy days in the year 5786. It's a brand new high holy days, which means what you heard and experienced in 5785 is now past. There's something more that's going to happen now. It's so important to focus on the truth that God is calling us to enter in because we're living in a world that's out of control. Why do people get out of control? People get out of control because they're living out of character. They've forgotten and maybe never knew whom God called each one to be. They forget Psalm 8, where the Lord says, you made him a little lower than the angels, than the messengers. You crowned him with glory and honor. When we find ourselves living out of control or some area of our lives that feels out of control, God has called us to return to the character, the imprint that he makes on us. I've said this before, that the Greek word for character, you ready? You might want to write this down. The Greek word for character is character. And it literally means, it's used for a thumbprint on making an impression on something. Our character is only built because God makes his imprint upon us. Character is not something we develop ourselves. Character is something that he develops in us. When we're out of control, we're out of character. We realize that this isn't the person that I know God created me to be. This is not the way that the Lord has created me to live, or this is not what God has called me to experience in an ongoing way in my life. The reason that we can often get out of character is because we are out of his calling. We're not hearing his calling. Even if we have heard his calling so clearly to know him, and we've heard his calling to a particular task, he is calling us tonight to prepare to enter into a new experience with Him, which will further develop our character, which will further develop our ability to be people who have a focus and a direction. We have a sense of control in our lives because the fruit of the Spirit is within us to give us control. We've got to be prepared for these new experiences and just learn how to adapt to the way that the world is going, because God has called us not to be out of control, not to live out of character, and not to live out of our calling. But the High Holy Days is that time of year every year where He calls us to focus in on a new experience with Him. We have to go through new experiences of our lives. I heard a story the other day about Saul and Sadie. Saul and Sadie were elderly folks. They had done very well in their lives, and to Sadie's dismay, Saul died. And so she called the newspaper and she said, "I want to have an obituary for Saul." And he said, "Look, in our day and age, putting obituaries in newspapers is expensive." How many of you remember when you could put an obituary in the newspaper? How many of you have already written yours? Raise your right hand. But back in the day, you wrote your obituary in the newspaper. It was just something that they gave. And he said, "In our day, obituaries are very expensive." And she said, "Well, how much is it?" And the newspaper editor said, "Well, it's $500 a word." She said, "$500 a word." So she sent him the obituary, and it was two words: "Saul died." The editor called her back and he said to Sadie, "I'm sorry, there's a five-word minimum." So she sent back another one and said, "Saul died. Volvo for sale." You want to be careful. Someone might write that. I haven't told that to my wife yet. But we have all these changing situations in our lives, and the world is changing. And there are some things that come around again and again and again in our world. Well, the Lord's called us in these High Holy Days to have a sense of clarity about who we are, a sense of clarity about how He wants us to live and calls us to live, the things that He has for us, a sense of clarity about the direction that He wants us to take. And this is the next to the last call. Next week is one of my favorite parshot of the whole year, Netzavim. But that's another message. This week in Kitavo, He kind of gives us this sense of purpose. Next week, He really affirms who we are. This week, He's saying, though, I've got a purpose for you. You are created for a purpose. I have something for you. Where is Israel at this moment? In Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, it says that Israel looked what? After 40 years of wandering, after 400 years possibly of slavery and suffering, after hundreds and thousands of years of difficulty, they are now camping on the plains of Jordan, beside the Jordan River, across from Jericho. I love the end of Numbers and Deuteronomy. But before they go running over to houses they did not build and vineyards they did not plant and wells they did not dig, before they go running across that river, He says, "Before you go," Moses says, "here are the final words that you need to know when you get in there." Because when you get in there, and if you think that it's about the houses and the vineyards and the wells and the milk and the honey, and you don't understand the reason why you're really there, then the day is going to come when all of your houses and all your wells and all your vineyards will not satisfy you, because I have something more. I have another season that I'm calling you to. And He wants us to know that as we end this year of taking root, that the most important thing to understand is that we take root by entering in, because entering in, just the mindset of entering in, opens a brand new door in our lives. People who have a mindset that this situation and this experience that I'm in right now is an opportunity for me to enter into a new experience with the Lord, and a new faith in the Lord, and a new way of living, and something that I've never experienced before. Bob, I like the way you started the worship tonight. We're going to praise Him like we never have before. That this Shabbat service is an opportunity to experience God like we never have before. And we get excited about this because we're about to enter into this new year of experience, and He's calling us. This is a call to enter in tonight, beloved. The month of Elul, the letters represent the Song of Solomon, where he says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. There's something that the lover of our lives has for us that's even more. And so we go to chapter 26 and verse 1. As we hear this call, it says, now when you enter the land that Adonai your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it, and you dwell in it, you are to take some of the first of all the produce of the soil which you gather from your land that Adonai your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place that Adonai your God chooses His name to dwell. He's saying it's not going to be enough to be at the houses. It's not going to be enough to have the produce. It's not going to be enough to satisfy, to have all the physical things and the physical freedom that we've always wanted. He said, there's something that you must do, and if you do it, you will experience all that the Lord has for you. Keep entering in. Let's press into these high holy days. Press into preparing for the high holy days. We keep entering in. He continues, let's go to verse 5. He says, when you do this, you are to respond before Adonai your God. My father, he said, this is what you are to say. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt and lived there as an outsider, few in number. But there he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. Let's go down to verse 9. The Lord brought us to this place, and He gave us this land. Look at it. Look at everything we have in front of us. He gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now, look. Look. I've brought some of the first of the fruits of the soil that you've given me, Adonai, Eternal One. Then you're to set it down before the Eternal One, your God, and worship before the I Am, who is here tonight, our God. You will rejoice in all the good that Adonai your God has given to you and to your house, you, the Levite, and the outsider in your midst. So when you enter into this new experience, keep on entering, keep on going. The Lord called us into this faith. He called us into this ministry. He called us here to experience more and more and more of what He has for us. Don't stop entering. In fact, the more tonight that you feel like life is out of control, the more we feel like tonight that we're the character that we want to experience with God, we're not experiencing it. And the more tonight we feel like I don't know where I am right now, this is the time to enter into the faith that God has more for you. He created you for a purpose, and there's more than we've ever imagined. Entering is a lifestyle that transcends space and situations. What we're really entering into is not a physical space, and that's what God wanted Israel to understand. You're not simply entering into a physical space. You're not entering into a new situation. You're entering into a spiritual experience with the eternal one of the universe. This entering in, it becomes a mindset. It becomes a lifestyle. It creates a future focus. What shall I do now? It creates a desirable direction. I am still confident of this, Psalm 27, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That when we enter into this experience and this higher calling of these high holy days, that the Lord has something for us that we've been looking for all the days of our lives. And now we have it here at 5786. So how do we learn this lifestyle? Let's go to chapter 28 for a moment. Chapter 28. What happens in this experience is that God says today is an important day. We're going to hear that a lot next week, but it's also here today. Today we choose to enter in to what God is opening a door for us. It's our choice. But what a delight when we open those doors and we see the Father's smile. We see the Father's face, and He is so pleased that we're doing what we are doing on this Rosh Hashanah. He's so pleased that what we will be doing on this Yom Kippur, He's so pleased by this that we want to run through this door to meet Him and experience Him. And He calls us to this place now. And we kind of take a look at our lives and we say, well, is this where we end? Or is this where we enter? In this breath of my life, what a great last song. I'll stop speaking earlier if we can sing that song for a little bit longer. The breath that we have. That He's called us to this experience today. And we have this decision to make tonight in our lives. Is this where I end? Or is this where I enter? Is this where I end my career? Or is this where I enter the best phase of my calling? Is this where I end my potential, or is this where I enter my greatest potential? Is this where love ends in my life, or is this where love enters a new experience? And the Spirit of Resurrection is calling us tonight to rise up out of whatever we feel has been holding us back. At this point in our lives, and we thank God for all the great, marvelous, wonderful things that He has done in this past year. And we kick the devil out the door for all the things that have happened that we did not like, but we focus on His word that says, now is the time to enter in. I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 69. You may have some English versions. This will be chapter 29, verse 1. But in the Tree of Life version and in other Hebrew versions, is chapter 28, verse 69. Because God says, today we choose to present before Him a heart that's hungry to enter what He has for us. He says, these are the words of the covenant that Adonai commanded Moses to make with Bnei Israel in the land of Moab. Listen to this. In addition to the covenant He made with them at Horeb. Notice that phrase. Rightly do we focus upon the mitzvot. Rightly do we focus upon the things that we received at Mount Sinai. But Moses says to the people, just as they are about to cross over into a new experience, as we are about to cross over into a new year, he says, it's going to be more than what is written. And this is what I want you to know, Moses says to the people. And this is what God wants us to know as we enter into this high holy day. He wants us to know something in addition to what is written. And he calls us to it tonight. And so we continue in chapter 29. Moses called to all Israel, and he said to them, "You have seen all that Adonai did before your eyes in the land of Egypt. You saw what he did to Pharaoh. You saw what he did to the servants. You saw all that God did to the land of Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, those great signs and wonders. But to this day, today, Adonai has not given you a heart to know, or eyes to see, or ears to hear. There's something new taking place at this transition to cross this river from where they've been in Egypt into the Holy Land. And there's something that God is calling us to tonight, beloved, as we cross this river from 5785 to 5786. He said, "I've got something new for you. I led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on you. Bread you have not eaten," which meant all you got was manna. You didn't get public challah out there. "Bread you did not eat, manna you ate, and wine and strong drink you have not drunk. Why? In order that you may know that I am Adonai, your God." Let's go to verse 8. He says, "So," and this is the way he ends this parsha this week. "So keep," say the word keep. "Keep the words of this covenant and do them so that you may prosper in all that you do." So that you may prosper in all that you do. The Lord says that there's something more that I have for you, and there's something more that I have for the world. And he speaks to Israel, and he says, "I've got something for you, Israel, and the world is just waiting for you to be my vessel of revelation." I've been intrigued by a couple of stories this week. The Librarians, which is an archive center in Israel, put an article out this week about Louis Armstrong. Anybody heard of Louis Armstrong? He sings one of my favorite songs of all time. You know, "What a Beautiful World This Is." It's my favorite song. I want to put it on my gravestone, but my wife doesn't particularly like the song, so, No, she does. It's just not going on the gravestone. And you may not know this, but Louis Armstrong wore a Star of David all the days of his life. This is from The Librarian. He was one of the world's greatest jazz musicians, and to this day is considered the most iconic trumpeter in history. Although he wasn't Jewish, he wore a Star of David necklace around his neck. The necklace was a tribute to the Jewish family who helped raise him and even helped him purchase his very first trumpet. So his life, his testimony, this legendary museum, his soul was entwined with a particular family called the Karnofsky family. He actually said, this is in his book, Louis Armstrong, in his own words, he said, "If it wasn't for those nice Jewish people, we would have starved many of time. I will love the Jewish people all my life." But this Jewish family was very poor. The year is 1907 in a sweltering summer heat of New Orleans. A 7-year-old boy named Louis is pushing a cart loaded with coal and scrap down a dusty street, and the work is grueling. Cleaning bottles, hauling coal, demands that the child raise his young voice to attract customers to his heavy cart of coal. But in the evening, instead of heading home, his mom was a single mother, he sat down to eat dinner with the family who employed him and even had taken him in unofficially, the Karnofskys. They were poor Lithuanian Jewish immigrants. After the meal, the mother would pick up the baby in her arms and begin to sing the Russian lullaby, and Louis would join in. Years later, when he was already an international superstar, he received a Gold Star of David from his friends, Abe and Francis Donan, who owned a jewelry shop in Los Angeles. And to Armstrong, the Star of David was a reminder that he spent with his Jewish family, he called them, and of the poor boy he once was in New Orleans, and he never took it off. That little boy, so in need of support and encouragement, found that love and encouragement in a poor immigrant family from Lithuania. They also helped Louis acquire his first instrument one day while riding through the French Quarter with Morris Karnofsky, the father. Louis spotted an old rusty trumpet in a shop window. It cost $5, a huge sum for a poor kid in New Orleans at the time. But for Louis, it seemed like an impossible dream. Morris saw the spark in his eyes and he encouraged him to buy it, and he gave Louis a $2 advance on his wages to help him get started. And over the following weeks, Louis saved 50 cents every week until he had enough to make the purchase. Quote by Louis, "The little trumpet was real dirty and it had turned real black, and Morris cleaned my little trumpet with some brass polish and he poured some insurance oil all through it, which sterilized the inside. He requested me to play a tune on it, and although I could not play a good tune, Morris applauded me just the same, which made me feel really good." God has called Israel to be a light to the nations. As Mark read in the half Torah, the Lord has promised to do some things in His timing. I want His time to go quicker, don't you? But all along the way, the Lord has been using Israel and the Jewish people especially, but Israel called to be a light to the nations, and all that. That light seemed to go out 2,000 years ago. And look where we are today. The Lord says that He wants us to lean into this evidence that He's still at work because of what Israel is experiencing in the world. And for us, it is a call to be faithful to our people. And for all the nations, it's a call to hear what God is saying about what He can do when He makes a promise. Let's turn to the book of Jude. The best way to find it is go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and flip back. It's the little book before the book of Revelation. So how does Yeshua fit into all this? Judah is living in a world out of control, out of character, and out of its calling. You read the letter of Judah, which is almost a quote of some parts of 2 Peter, and it sounds like this world is just not going to last another 20 years. But rather, he simply comes to this, that God is going to bring justice. But then he says to the people that I have an enduring entering in for you. We need to spend less time focusing on what's happening in the world, still be involved in its healing. But for us, and that's what the High Holy Days are, He's calling us to enter into an experience that He has for us in these High Holy Days. He has for you and has for your household. It's brand new. I can't tell you what it is. There's no formula. We just have to show up and say, "Lord, I've been telling you for 2 weeks now, I want to enter in to the most glorious spiritual experience I've ever had with you, Bob. And now I'm here and I hear a trumpet and I'm ready to go." And Yeshua upholds this Torah instruction about a new entering in. And He gives them two keepers. You remember back in the Torah where He says, "So then, keep this covenant in front of you. I love you. I have so much for you. And I love it when you come to me and you just talk with me about what's going on in your life that's going well and what's not going well. I just love it. The Father says, I smile upon you when you come to me and you share with me what you're not doing well. I want to hear you. And I'm not looking at you on Rosh Hashanah with a glaring face of condemnation. When we open that Torah and we hear that trumpet, for those who are wanting to enter in, we see the face of a Father who is so pleased that we are there and so delighted when we share with Him the things we want to continue in our lives and the things that we want to get rid of in our lives. And He walks us through it. And He gives them two key references here at the end of Jude. Let's go to verse 20. But you, loved ones, see, I love that in Jude. He talks about this world that's like, this is, you read Jude before you get to verse 20, and it sounds like zombie land. It's like the Hunger Games. He says, but you, loved ones, what are you to do? Continue building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Ruach HaKodesh, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's very difficult to pray in the Holy Spirit when we've got our eyes, our ears, and our hearts focused on physical things. His trumpet calls us, and He says here in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, eagerly waiting for the mercy of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah that leads to eternal life. This phrase here where it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. In the original language in Greek, the word yourselves comes first. He says, you, in the love of God, stay there. Our Father, I'm praying for such an experience of love for some folks who have never known love at the level that you are going to pour out your love upon them in these high holy days. You're beginning it on this Shabbat. It's this love that leads us to eternal life. This is not where we end. This is where we become eternal. This is not where things stop in our lives. This is where we enter into the beginning of something brand new. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, tonight, Father, guide us, resurrect our minds from thinking that this is all there is and all that can be. For our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. Father, help us to get rid of what is ending. No more shall there be death. No more shall be violence. No more shall there be night. But you are our light now. We keep ourselves in your love, Father. Beloved, let's look at verses 24 and 25, because there's another keeper here. I love keepers, don't you? It was really bad when we moved to Florida. I always love what Rabbi Robert said on the day that Beth Hillel sent me forth there in 2013. He prayed for me. He talked about, I'm going to this place. I'm going to be doing this. I won't be around you guys anymore, which really scared me. He said, but he's going to Florida. He says, somebody's got to do it. So I went to the coast of Florida, and now I have these clear glass vases all over the house filled with shells. Gilly says, no more. And I keep bringing them. But they're keepers. Every time I'm there, there's another keeper. Here's someone that's keeping you. He walked along the seashores of the earth, and he saw you, and he picked you up, and he said, I'm keeping you. Verse 24 says, now to the one who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, I just feel like we need to stand at this moment in time. Bob, would you come with the musicians and prepare to worship for a moment here? Can you read that with me? If you have a Tree of Life version with you or somewhere. You folks online, I know you got it there. To the only God, our Savior, through Yeshua, the Messiah, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, both now and forever. So who's keeping you tonight? Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. This just sounds like an introduction to Rosh Hashanah. It's in our MJAA readings this week. Verse 4. He says, John to Messiah's seven communities in Asia. Grace to you and shalom from him who is and who was and who is to come. Doesn't it sound like Rosh Hashanah? I'm ready for it, aren't you? I'm so ready to gather together. Why will it happen greater when we're together? Because he does more things for us when we are together than when we are apart. And that's why that Erev Rosh Hashanah service is so important for you and all of us. Grace to you and shalom from him who is and who was and who is to come, as well as from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Messiah Yeshua, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and Rosh Hashanah, and has made us a kingdom, Kohanim to his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever. And let us say, Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Yes, Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says Adonai Elohim, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What we're entering into tonight, beloved, is an experience of the one who always was, who is and was waiting for us to come in here tonight, and who always will be keeping us in the bosom of his love. If you don't know Yeshua as your leader, your anointed and appointed leader of your life, your Messiah, get to know him, because he demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Let me say something else. Not only did he die for us when we came to him the first time, but he died for us every other time that we have fallen since then. And this Rosh Hashanah is another opportunity to say, Lord, I'm taking another step forward in your will in my life. Would you consider asking God about Yeshua in your life? His name means a wide open space, and he's calling you tonight. And for all of us, beloved, tonight, let's enter into these high holy days. Let's enter into this new experience. I can hardly wait for those 10 days of awe. I can hardly wait to confess to him the things that I've done this past year that I don't want to continue in my life. And why am I so excited about that? Because he is the Father who wants the best for me and every person in this room. And he's just waiting for you to come and say, I blew it on this one. And he's ready to guide us forward and learn a new life of calling and of character and of control. But tonight the prayer is very, very simple. Lord, I'm ready to enter in. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.